far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, it's our Skyfall review and general
Bond, James Bond
talk.
Saying his conspiracy theories.
Yeah, he mentioned Texas and then he said colonies and then I went straight to Gundam X.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's like all my mind could think of.
They mention it every single episode. That's what's so great.
In case you forgot, like, why the Earth in this anime is so screwed up.
Have you gotten to the part yet where every single episode they start talking about how Jamil Neal had a vision when the colonies fell? And he is trying to fulfill that vision. And they have, like, this epic narration of the history of this universe at, like, every single episode. And sometimes it's, like, twice in an episode. And it gets really old really quick.
All right. Well, according to my eye touch, what I've got on here is episode 15 is where I'm at.
Where Tifa starts swimming with the dolphins.
Oh, great. That sounds entertaining.
She's, like, communicating with them with her new type powers. And there's, like, one dolphin that hates humans.
All I could think of is that line from The Lonely Island, like, I'm on a boat where it's like, I'm on a dolphin doing flips and shit. And then, like, you see, like, Tifa just riding on a dolphin, like, standing on it.
The point of this episode is that dolphins don't kill their own kind. Only humans do. And they are, like, really heavy-handed about it. It's, like, the whole 2-3 episode arc.
Oh, that'd be fun.
It's pretty bad.
I have to watch something this week. I don't know. But
and then after that, it gets super political. Anyway, yeah, Skyfall.
But Gundam real quick. Like, I got the Turn-A Gundam movies, so I'll just watch those and count that as me watching Turn-A Gundam. So, like, if you see the series and I'll watch the movies, we can kind of like, okay, well, this is what they did compared to what this is what they did.
Yeah, I've got the whole series downloaded torrent now, so... I'm definitely going to watch that because that's one I've been looking forward to for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
It's a shame it didn't get released here.
It was about to almost until Bandai was like, we're broke and poor. Oops.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's pretty unfortunate.
Yeah. All right. Well, you and me both saw, and then I guess TY might never show up on this episode, so who cares about him? And, Wait, did Josh eat it already?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
All right, well, we're going to spoil it for you, Josh, in case you want to duck out.
No, I'm probably going to leave, yeah.
Okay.
Well, me and John had the privilege of spending money to support the movie industry to watch possibly...
Wait a sec.
I go on, I, Oh, go ahead.
I wanted to. I wanted my money to go to it. I said I wanted a ticket for Skyfall, and they gave me a ticket for flight.
Oh my gosh, what an insult.
And so I had to go like to the other wing of the theater to find Skyfall, because it was they sent me to Theater 2 for flight, and I've got a ticket here for flight. My money went to flight. It's very unfortunate for the Bond franchise that it's such a good movie.
You know, I even though your money went to flight, your heart went to Skyfall, and I think that should count for something.
Okay, well, what so I'm saying record, is that, yeah, well, my hope is that enough people listen to this and then go see it that it'll be made up for not getting my money.
You know, like, oh, I'm getting an echo.
Yeah, there's something weird going on with the call. I don't know what.
Wait, I don't think I hear. Oh, no, I still do. Darn it.
What? Josh is gone.
So could I still get an echo? Okay, I don't hear an echo. Good.
Okay, good.
No, like, according to TY Math, like, apparently if you didn't pay for a ticket, you just cost them, like, an extra $600,000.
Oh, yeah. Did we didn't share the Wreck-It Ralph story, did we?
No, you told me about it. I think I saw in the chat where, like,
yeah,
but this is, like, according, like, when I told you guys this, like, on the night of the election, like, when I found out that Obama won America for the next 4 years, I got drunk. And I told my mom I was getting drunk because I walked in a room and I was just like, hey, look at the TV, because she falls asleep in front of it every night. And she looks at it and she's like, she gets me this annoyed, yeah, I see it. I said, right, well, I'm going to get drunk. And I just kind of closed the door and I grabbed what was left of my bourbon whiskey out of the fridge, got some Coke, had about three glasses, and went to bed in a really, really mellow mood. Like, I was listening to music and just kind of like floating or whatever. You okay?
It's too hot.
But anyways, with the story, like, I woke up and obviously went to typography class with a minor slight hangover from the depression from the night before or whatever. But, like, apparently, like, you got, like, I think it was you or TY that was mentioning, like, yeah, like, Wreck-It Ralph did, like, $4 million at the theater, and it was all caused by me because I went there after hearing about the election and I got drunk and passed out through, like, the whole midnight showings, which my movie theater doesn't even do that. And somehow that racked up like $3 million.
Yeah, you went in there yelling that you wanted to wreck Obama, and then you passed out. They charged you for all the showings.
Yeah, well, despite the fact that it did not happen, that's still a better use of my time than what I used it for. So, I mean, that's a much better story, and I should have just stuck with that.
Yeah,
but if I had $3 million, like, not all of it would have gone to Wreck-It Ralph. But it would all probably have gone to Skyfall.
Yeah, you should spend it all on this.
Yeah,
I would have gotten... TY said this movie has made $88 million.
Depressed. It doesn't matter what mood I'm in. I'm watching Skyfall.
TY said this movie has made $88 million, so it doesn't even really need your extra million.
But it's the thought that counts.
That's true, yeah.
Wait, what was the budget on this movie?
I don't know, but it must have been pretty high, because there's a lot of good special effects.
I didn't realize it already made $88 million already. Hold on. Skyfall.
And that's just the Skyfall. U.S. Did you see Viku's story where he said he went up to the window and said, can I see Skyrim at 9:30? And the guy was just like, what? And he said, Skyfall, I mean. And then he goes.
No, he didn't tell
us. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Oh crap, I've got the Wikipedia pulled up on this budget movie. God, freaking Chrome and the computer, it's so laggy.
Okay, so the budget was $150 million, and that number I give you is just the US. It's already made like three times its budget internationally. It's made $518 billion.
Wait, $518 billion or million?
Million. Sorry, million.
Okay. I'm like, $518 billion, isn't that like the highest amount of any movie ever?
Yeah, that would like pay for like our whole deficit or something.
Yeah.
It would be like a fifth of the money in the country.
Yeah. Well, then add the few extra billion on there, because we know Obama's going to screw that up. But this isn't really about politics. This is about James Bond. And I think, like, I remember hearing something like it, because, like, between this one and the last one of Quantum of Solace, like, it's been, like, 4 years since the last Bond movie.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why was the fact that, like, MGM had financial troubles, and I think they filed for bankruptcy. And didn't another studio pick – well, I think MGM still has their name on this, but it's – well, they still – all right. So they still got – according to this, they're still distributed by it, so Sony. They still have the rights to it. But.
Sony is somehow involved.
Okay. So that's what explained why Sony picked up the slack. I think Sony might have bought the license. So it's like one of those co-production things. But
they're all made by Eon. You know, people act like it matters who's distributing it. I don't think that plays much of a role, you know?
Yeah, Eon Productions and then, like, Dan Jack LLC.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah.
That's like Indian or something.
But, yeah, so it's been, like, 4 years, and Quantum of Solace is not that great of a movie. I mean, if you have to, like... If you want to watch all the James Bond movies, you can. But really, with Quantum of Solace, you can kind of leave that out.
It's better than some of the more ones.
It's probably better than, like, most of the Pierce Brosnan movies.
Yeah, I mean,
When I say Pierce Brosnan movies, I'm leaving out GoldenEye out of that equation, because GoldenEye is actually one of the better ones.
Oh, yeah. That one is pretty good. But Quantum of Solace isn't bad or anything. I think it's the second one I watched after Casino Royale. And it's very similar to Casino Royale. That's its main flaw.
Yeah.
Whereas Skyfall is very different.
It's like an hour shorter or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, like, Casino Royale was like a 2.5 hour long movie like this, even though it was like 70% card games or watching, like, ESPN poker tournament, even though it's not on ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, with Quantum of Solace, they kind of, like, you know, got to it where it was like that plot about, like, oh, yeah, they're... He's not harvesting oil. He's, like, trying to, like, cause a famine with all the water.
Is Quantum of Solace the one where his girlfriend wakes up and, well, he sees his girlfriend and she's, like, covered in oil or something and she's dead? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, that was it. That was the MI6 girl that was, like, that hotel and, like, yeah, she was, like, drenched in oil.
Yeah.
On the bed. Like, kind of like freaking, like, how the girl was spray painted in Goldfinger.
Yeah. It was a total ripoff. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, then, like, but in this one, like, well, of course, in Quantum of Solace, like, James Bond, like, has friends, but when they get shot, he just, like, dumps them in the dumpster and, like, leaves them. He's just like, I don't have time to properly bury them. He knew the risk coming to see me in, like, some random Spanish, like, South American country. So, like, it's a proper burial. He just, like, chucks him in the trash and drives off.
Yeah, it's, like, proper for his religion, like when Bin Laden was dumped in the sea, you know? It's a good way to
He's
go.
Like the same principle.
Yeah.
That is the Mad Bull 34 rule of burying someone is throwing them in the dumpster.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so when I say that, yeah, obviously Skyfall has got to be the best James Bond movie. Like, can you literally think of another Bond movie that's as good, if not better, than Skyfall?
Yeah,
all the ones you've seen.
T.Y. and I were saying that the only one that really comes close is Casino Royale, because that one's pretty exciting, too. But, you know, the Sean Connery ones, I've seen all of them, except for the 60s Casino Royale. And
oh, yeah, the original one.
Yeah, and that's not, like, an official one, so...
Yeah, they came out, like, before, like, the 007, like, series actually just booted up. Like, because they came out, like, in the late 50s or something. And then they did another 60s Casino Royale movie, like, later. But that was completely different.
Yeah, there's three different Casino Royales. And I've only seen the most recent one.
Yeah. But like, I don't know, like, I go back and think about the Casino Royale, and I'm just like, I don't think I really liked it that much. Maybe it's been so long, but I'm just like, I guess it was okay. But
this is better than that, because that has all those boring card game sequences that I don't really understand. And whereas this has, like...
it's nonstop action. It's like they took all the stuff that makes James Bond corny and kind of lame, got rid of it, made it into an action movie, and made it solid.
Yeah, it's like nonstop, you're right. The... only lull is where he's, like, kidnapped or something. And at that point, I had, like... Because I only got 3 hours of sleep last night. I had fallen asleep during the exposition of Bardem there. But I think that was probably an important plot point there. Do you remember what happened in that scene?
Wait, which scene? Like,
where it was, part of- he was, like, there was this woman that was tied up, and she gets shot, and Bond is, like, tied up also. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm trying to think. Are you talking about the Asian woman that, like, he meets, where he meets her, like, when they're in Shanghai at first, and then they go to that, like that casino place that's, like, in the middle of, like, the China Ocean or Shanghai or wherever, which I was, like, freaking cool they ever put a casino there.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. That girl he is looking at when the guy is, like, falling off the building?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a great scene.
Because, I'm trying to think. I guess if we start from the beginning, I guess I would think of what happens. Like, wait, what happens after that scene? Like, what part did you wake up through? I didn't think it would fall asleep through this.
I know, I kept trying to get myself to not fall asleep, and it, like, slapped my face, and then eventually I took my jacket off, and then I became cold, and so I stayed awake, you know? But then I stayed awake for the rest of the movie, and I'm glad I did, because there's, like, we're just going to spoil everything here. If you haven't seen it, if you haven't seen it, go see it, and then listen to the rest of this. But,
yeah, I'll try to remember to put a spoiler tag on this, but yeah, like, no, like, what makes this movie so good is the fact that, like, they bring back a past of James Bond. I love movies. I love characters when they have, like, you have this whole series, and when it comes to the James Bond's past, like, there's really no mention of it ever. And, like, when they mention Skyfall in this at first, when he comes back from supposedly being dead. And to get, like, you know, to go back into the MI6 again, like, they ask him about Skyfall, and he's like, this is discussion's over. So I'm thinking, oh, man, it's like a botched mission or something. But it turns out it's part of his past, because it's like this – it's part of, like, his heritage, his family heritage, where, like, it's an actual, like, house. It's, like, in the middle of Scotland or whatever. And it's not – I thought it was an orphanage at first, but I think it was actually, like, his family's house, and that was the land that they had. That was Skyfall.
Yeah. You mentioned the botched mission. That's about as far into the past as they've gone before is the GoldenEye movie, where they talk about his past with the other agent. And other than that, they haven't really done any flashbacks.
Oh, yeah, with Sean Bean's character?
Yeah. But that's not
too far in the past or anything like
that. Yeah. This is, like, new. This is way past childhood that.
And, like, how what really made him Bond, kind of.
Yeah. They had, like, this stuff, I think, was inspired by the Batman movies. They made a big deal about how he was an orphan, and they've got the old guy in the house and everything.
Yeah, he was, like, the caretaker of the place because, like...
Yeah, he's like Alfred.
Yeah, except he's, like, really badass.
Yeah, I don't think Alfred would be, like, a gun expert. You're right.
Yeah, or have a beard and talk Scottish and get drunk all the time.
Yeah.
This guy was freaking cool, but...
I think Alfred does have a dog, though. And then, like, the Ace the Bat Hound or something.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I guess we should just start from the beginning, where, like, it's part of a mission. Like, him and this girl, this other agent, are chasing after this guy. Or, no, Bond, like, breaks into this house and tries to find a hard drive. And, like, pretty much, like, it's got the purpose of this hard drive is the fact it's got, like, all the agents of, like, the MI6 and, I think, like, with NATO, like, on this hard drive, their databases and stuff. And, like, somebody actually takes the hard drive. And so, like, the first 20 minutes of this movie is just them trying to get it back from this guy. And they have, like, a sweet car chase and everything. Like, they get to the point where, like, Bond chases them to, like, a little, like, food place or inn or, like, a bazaar or whatever. And the guy comes out of his car, but he's got, like, a pistol, like, those Glock pistols. But it's got, like, a double-barreled, like, ammunition thing to it. And I thought I would never see those, like, on a pistol ever. And he, like, shoots, like, 100,000 shots. Which is, like, freaking awesome. I'm like, wait, where does he have the room to put that in his car? Because, like, as soon as he whips out the gun with, like, these, like, those double barrel magazine things, I was like, oh my god, where'd he keep that thing?
Go on, sorry.
Oh, okay. But then, like, they go on the motorcycle chase, and, like, the reason why I like Daniel Craig as Bond is that, like, he's, like, the Jack Bauer of James Bond. Like, because everything that's in his way, his mentality is, like, F it, I don't care. And, like, because from Casino Royale, like, when the guy was, you know, like, when he's chasing the guy through the construction site, and the guy, like, jumps to, like, that little 3-foot hole or whatever, like, the rectangle, and then Bond just, like, says, F it, and, like, barrels his way through, like, through the drywall. it keeps the chase going. And like with this one, it's no different, but it's more extreme. Like he like uses the motorcycle to propel him on a train. Like he ramps the motorcycle into like the side of the bridge to have enough force to propel him onto the train that's oncoming down below because the guy jumped on it. And because Bond's, you know, mentality is like, well, F it. And he just does it.
Yeah.
And then like, when the carts uncouple on the train, like when the guy that they're chasing after does that, like Bond uses a freaking like construction backhoe and like hooks the backhoe arm to the train and then like jumps off of it as soon as like the whole top roof of the train's broken and like fixes his collar. Like, you know, I don't give a hell. Like, I don't give a damn.
I like how that
was so awesome.
I like how after he falls off the waterfall after being shot, they don't even like fully explain how he survived. It's just assumed like he's Bond, he's gonna survive, you know?
Yeah, like the cause of that is like the other agent girl was like was his partner in this, and she's chasing him next to the train, so like they had to split up. And then like as soon as it gets like she's got a shot, she uses like an M16 like to try to take the shot or whatever. And it's not like it's like I'm like, she's not freaking Golgo 13. She can't make that shot, but she doesn't. But yeah. At the same time, like they got their earpieces, so like he's hearing everything that M's telling like the female agent, which her name was like Eve or Ava, and we'll get to that in a sec. But,
Money Penny.
And then, we find out it's Money Penny. But M tells him to take the shot because like it's so hard for her to take it because they're fighting, and she takes it and shoots Bond, and the guy that they're chasing after is just like, sweet, thank you, and just kind of disappears with the train. And Bond falls like 80, like 100 feet or whatever into the river, and then just like it shows the title card or whatever. And then so then after that they write his obituary and they think he's dead and everything. But at the same time, like there's an attack going on at MI6 that like destroys like part of the office, which isn't the first time they destroyed MI6. What was the other time they can think of was like the world is not enough. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that one. That's one of the Brosnan ones, right?
Yeah. It was like, no, he chases, no, like, I think it was like before the title card thing on that.
Is that the North Korea one?
No, the North Korea one, I think, might have been Die Another Day, perhaps. I don't know. Because he's, like, in a Chinese, like, a Korean prison for, like, 2 years or something. And then
that's one of the best Brosnan ones.
Really? I remember watching it and, like, don't remember anything about it because I thought it was that terrible.
Well, there are only four of them, and I don't remember any except for Goldfinger in that one.
You mean GoldenEye?
Yeah, GoldenEye. That's right.
I get Goldfinger.
Goldfinger is a great one too. That's one of my favorites.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
All the Guy Hamilton ones are my favorites. The You Only Live Twice and Diamonds Are Forever with Connery and what's the other one? Man with the Golden Gun.
That's a cool movie.
With the guy with the three nipples.
Yeah, that's Christopher Lee as Scaramanger. He's got like three nipples. Only so one's fake. I don't even understand the plot point of that.
It's like a magic nipple or something.
It's like a freaking like stick on or like a gravy stain or something that just like froze on his skin. He was like too lazy to wash, and he's like, "That looks like a nipple. I think I'll keep it, and I'll be known as the man with the golden gun with the third nipple."
That's one of the characters I think where they couldn't like use the book's plot for some reason. And so they had to make up, like, a stupid movie villain. And so they did that with, like, several of them.
Yeah. Like, I've seen Diamonds Are Forever, like, three or four times. And that one's... I don't know. I mean, that one's pretty good. I guess.
It's extremely cheesy. And that's... It's why I kind of like it. At least some of the other ones, like, take themselves too seriously. And they're not actually, like, as slick as this. But that one is like a joke, and it knows it.
Yeah, it's like they got like the two guys that are like the assistants. It was like Mr. Fink or whatever, and they got those guys in Kids Next Door as like a homage to them, which I thought was pretty cool.
But
apparently anybody who watches Kids Next Door is not going to get that, except people like me who watched that James Bond movie.
Those are the gay characters.
I guess they're gay. I don't know.
They're like totally flamboyant. Mr. Fink and Mr. someone else. I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, but no, like, he kills him at the very end of the movie. Like, of course, he got the Bond girl that was just, like, the New Yorkian, like, in Los Angeles or something, and she was annoying. I don't know, but...
Oh, and that one also has that sausage salesman guy, Jimmy Dean. Do you remember that? He's, like...
Diamonds Are Forever?
Yeah, there's the Bambi...
I don't remember this.
Do you remember the scene with Bambi and Thumper?
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's got, like, these, like, yoga girls as, like, bodyguards.
And they're in combat boots and stuff and, like, bikinis. And, like, he, like, winds up, like, drowning them in a pool at the end. And yeah. Jimmy Dean's just like, oh, hell, what are we going to do about this?
That's why I love the Guy Hamilton ones. They're just so absurd. And the sheriff in the You Only Live Twice and Man with the Golden Gun.
I think you're thinking of Live and Let Die, because You Only Live Twice was the Sean Connery one. He goes to Japan.
Oh, you're right.
It's
the one with the Paul.
Donald Pleasance was the main guy in charge of Spectre.
Blofeld.
Yeah, Blofeld. Like, I've got You Only Live Twice on Laserdisc. I gotta watch the whole movie again.
Oh, that's cool.
It's been a long time since I've seen it. I've still got Octopussy to watch, too.
That's the best one for Blofeld. I don't think there's, like, a full Donald Pleasance in any of the others. Because there's so many different Blofeld actors. There's, like, 6 or 7 of them. It's insane.
Yeah, like in Diamonds of Forever, he's got, like, a full head of hair and, like...
And there's no scar.
And then, of course, like, Bond crashes him into, like, the oil rig as it's like, exploding from, like, the cart or whatever, or, like, the crane. And they want to, like, you figure they're going to capture him or something, but they never, like... But, of course, he apparently gets away or something. I don't know.
That's what's so ridiculous about them is that every time he defeats Blofeld, and there's one where, like, he is, like, skiing with Blofeld, and Blofeld, like, gets stuck in a tree.
Yeah, that was Terry Savalas Blofeld from On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Yeah, he gets stuck in a tree, and then they just, like, leave, and then he shows up and kills his fiance. Like, what'd you expect? You let Blofeld
They were married by then. They were married for 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's in a neck cast, and he's able to wield a Tommy gun.
That one's hilarious. Yeah, he's like, he's just had his wedding, and there's like Moneypenny. He's like, "Good show, James," and all that. And then they go driving off, and she gets shot right away because he just left the guy hanging.
But then it ends like so depressing. He's like, "We have all the time in the world, and we had all this time together." And then like he's just crying over his wife. And then like in the movie Bond movies, like they'll kind of bring that back.
What's funny to me is that they mostly just ignore it. There's like.
In the beginning of Live and Let Die, like he's paying his respects to his like wife of 5 minutes, and then like that's when like he gets into the helicopter where like Blofeld's like piloting it from the remote control, and then he winds up taking control of the helicopter and like dumping him into like a smokestack.
that's in For Your Eyes Only.
Oh, that was it. For Your Eyes Only. Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the Roger Moore ones. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the one I saw recently.
That's the only Roger Moore one, I think, with Blofeld.
You might be right.
And he's not, like, mentioned by name in it for some reason.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, he's, like, in a wheelchair, and, like, I don't know what happened to the fat cat. It just, like, the cat just ran off.
Oh, that's right. The cat, he's on the roof, and then
I wonder if the new Bond movie is, like, the cat's actually, like, the new Blofeld Spectre.
Oh, man, I wonder if they do a Blofeld in his new Bond reboot.
I'm wondering that, too. Like, I'm wondering if they're going to bring back Spectre, and, like, it'll be, like, you know, ex-terrorists from Afghanistan and Iraq or whatever. Because back then, it was, like, the communists. Like 80% of the people, no, all of them that made up Spectre were, like, that worked for Russia or communism, because that was the country we were fighting back then.
Yeah. Don't they have, like, Quantum now? That's the new Spectre, right?
I guess that was the one. That was the group that was in Casino Royale. That like the white dude and whatever his name was actually working for, kind of.
Yeah, and then in the next one, it starts out with the the cool car chase, and then they show it, they're at the base, and they've got the guy, and then it turns out the bodyguard works for Quantum or something, and the guy's like, Quantum is everywhere. Do you remember that scene?
Okay. Yeah, because Quantum starts out with taking place like 10 minutes right after the end of the of Casino Royale.
Yeah. It's one of those sequels that is like right after.
I guess we should talk about this movie some more.
That's true. We got off on like a general Bond thing.
Yeah.
We've been meaning to do
it. It goes to show how much we know about this.
We've been meaning to do a general Bond thing for months now, though. So it's like,
yeah. Now that we kind of like watch most of the movies, I've still got a couple more left. Oh. I still need to rewatch License to Kill and like Octopussy. Oh, and I saw what was it?
Did you see the other Dalton one?
Yeah, no, I can't think of it right now.
There's License to Kill.
Living Daylights, that was it.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that was the one I saw. That movie isn't bad. I actually judging by that movie, like, Dalton was not a bad Bond actor. Those aren't bad movies.
Hold on. License to Kill is the one with the Afghanistan terrorists, right?
No, Living Daylights was the one they go to Afghanistan with, like, the... back then, it was the Al-Qaeda that the Bond's working for to fight the Soviets.
Oh, and
because
then,
smuggling opium. And, like, License to Kill was the one where it has the...
that's Miami.
Yeah, like, where they Felix gets eaten by a shark.
Yeah, that one's great.
Like, Bond fights the Latino dude that was in Die Hard.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, Special Agent Johnson.
Yeah. That's the one where he goes to, like... This guy's, he's got like this kind of like church factory thing or something, and there's people like going down conveyor belts and stuff, but there's also people like worshiping him there. It's real strange.
Okay, I've got that as an MP4 on my computer that I'll put on my iTouch and watch it sometime.
You said you like watched part of it?
I saw part of it like a few months ago, and I only got as far as like Felix being eaten by the shark, and then Bond like coming to the ransacked like house or something.
That's another.
That's
one
as far as I got with the rewatch.
That's like almost a ripped off of Honor Majesty's Secret Service because he gets married and then he gets eaten by a shark like immediately, and they like show the marriage on camera and both of them and everything.
it was like a Telly Savalas shark.
Yeah, the shark is like bald.
It's just like Telly Savalas' head on a shark. It's so believable, but
and it's got like a cat.
Yeah, we got to talk about Skyfall. We got so off topic, but who cares? But yeah, so anyways, like, they write up Bond's obituary or whatever, and then like the MI6 gets blown up or whatever, which is what we were talking about a second ago, or not a second ago,
like 10 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes ago or something. But yeah, so like apparently, and then of course when this happens, like it's been 3 months since Bond supposedly died, and he's like, I guess in Mexico or wherever, but he's pretty much found himself this some gal to hook the shack up with, and I guess he realizes he's getting old. He's got a scar from where he got shot.
And then there's this scene where he's like drinking, and there's a scorpion climbing around on him.
Yeah,
and
I didn't think of this was like an actual drinking game where like you have to drink without the scorpion stinging you, and then he does it, and everyone's like freaking super impressed, and he just like dumps the scorpion and like traps it with a glass bottle, and he's like, pay up or whatever.
That's cool.
And then it's freaking Dawn. He's still in the bar like getting sloshed or whatever, and then like on the news it talks about like MI6 being attacked. And then at the same time, like, M is being questioned by, like, one of the people that works for the government, or the prime minister or something, like, regarding, like, her position. She's got 2 months before she resigns unless they capture this guy who's behind all this. And then Bond shows up, you know, drunk at M's apartment and, you know, saying he's, like, reporting for duty and he's ready to come back. And, of course, he's got to get a hotel because... like apparently with agents, like because he's dead, they sold his flat and like they put all his stuff in storage, which I guess is, you know, it's obviously standard procedure. But of course, I like her response where he's like, well, I won't stay here tonight. I'll get a hotel. She's like, good. I didn't want you sleeping over here anyways.
Yeah, that was good.
I had a drink. So anyways, after that, like he goes to like they moved MI6 to like this underground bunker which they used back in World War II or whatever. And he's pretty much taking his physical and getting tested for it, and then, you know, tell him he passed, which in actuality he failed, or like, you know, obviously she passed him even though he failed this test, because it goes to show like how much trust M has in 007. And of course, James Bond meets up with Q in this, which is Q is like this young nerdy guy, and you know, they kind of make little puns on this where it's like, oh, you know, like he gets his they meet up in an art museum, and he gets like a little radio transmitter and all like a special PPK.
Oh, that's
only
great.
Like it's identical to like they can only match his fingerprints, and no one else can use it.
And then he's like, "This is a little primitive or limited or whatever," he says. And then the guy says, "Well, we don't do exploding pins anymore."
Yeah,
that was like the funniest line in the movie to me, because there's so many old Bonds where Desmond Llewellyn as Q gives whatever Bond it is a pin, and he throws it and he explodes it, or he uses it as a laser, and it's like,
yeah, but generic. Of course, and then they bring the cool classic Q thing. Was like, please bring it back in one piece, Mr. 007.
Oh yeah,
which he never does. So
he did say that in this, I think.
Yeah, because like the gun was being used by like that fat Asian dude at the Shanghai gambling place, and like the Komodo dragon freaking ate him up.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah, no, I like how Daniel Craig, like the other Komodo dragon shows up, which I was like, oh my god! And then like James Bond, and then like Bond jumps on it like he's freaking Mario in Super Mario Brothers, and like kind of hops up on it for like he's like the Komodo dragon's a Goomba. And grabs onto the ledge, and then Moneypenny's there to like save him from the other shooter or whatever.
That Komodo dragon's like not even trying to mess with him or anything, too. Like it knows it's James Bond, you know, it's not going to mess with him.
it's like the human the food chain is like, you know, freaking all the other animals, then humans, then Komodo dragons, and then James Bond.
Yeah, he's like the
then
god.
Then followed by Gogo 13.
Yeah.
And depending on the type of month, maybe possibly MD Geist.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Or Rambo.
Well, we kind of skipped ahead a little. But I guess it doesn't matter. But like they get a trace on the guy they were trying to capture 3 months ago, and they meet up. The guy's taking a hit or a job in like Shanghai, which the assassin dude is like. I find it funny. Like James Bond is eyeing him from the. Like from outside that like building or whatever he's about to the assassin dude was going to use, and like he just pulls out his gun and shoots the security officer, and like the security officer, or he puts the security officer behind like the desk or whatever, hiding the body like it's freaking Deus Ex. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then Bond just kind of casually goes up the escalator, and then there's like there's a security guard like right out in the open. It's like that is the worst assassin ever. And, like, I was seeing this with some friends of mine, and, like, this one girl that we know of was sitting next to me, and I'm just like, all he's got to do is follow the trail of bodies.
Hey, what was up with that scene where there was, like, this transparent tower, and they were, like, looking at the assassin, and Bond was looking at the assassin, and, like, everyone knew he was going to shoot this guy, and nobody, like, cared, even though they all had guns.
I think with that, it was, like, because the girl, I don't know, like, I didn't really catch that too well. It was like some guy that I think works for the main villain of this, and like, or the girl was. I think that might have been like the guy she was tied to because she's basically like a whore, or prostitute, or a call girl. I don't know.
Who is the Asian woman?
The Asian girl that he meets up with at like once they've had the fight at the top of the building.
Oh, this like, is the girl with the beret.
Yeah, her and. Because she looks at him, and then, like, but she doesn't do anything. She just stares at Bond. And then, apparently he disappears or whatever. And then Moneypenny shows up, goes to Shanghai to meet with him, and she, like, shaves his face or whatever. Because, like, I actually kind of dug the grizzly old man Bond look there, where he, like, had, like, a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
I dug that look.
It's interesting to see Bond with a beard. One of the Bronson ones, the one in North Korea. He has a beard in also, but it's like they shave it off halfway through, like this one.
Yeah, he got like in that movie, he goes to like this hotel or whatever using his name, and shaves his face or whatever. But I was just like, oh, that's kind of dumb. Anyways, but oh crap! No, he gets an invitation. Like he gets like a poker chip. Yeah, it was like a poker chip. that has like the like a sort of an invitation thing to, or the assassin guy had, because he threw the assassin dude off the bridge or like off the building because he didn't give him a name for who he's working for. And so then, like, he gets invited. He goes to this party, which is, like, this casino place, like, out in the middle of the ocean. But, it, like, not, I guess the water or whatever. But, like, there's a boat there that leads him, like, through this, like, lineup of like, these, like, lit candles in the water. And it's freaking cool as hell. And, like, it leads Bond in there. And, of course, Moneypenny's there as his backup. And so then he meets up with the Asian girl and... She tells her whole story how she's like basically tied to the main villain in some way, and Bond's is like, you know, I can guarantee your safety. And then of course, like as soon as you know she's on this boat and he's got to meet her there, and but of course she leaves like in an hour or whatever to go meet this guy or the main villain, and that's when Bond gets in a fight with all the Asian bodyguards, and that's when we get to the scene where the Komodo dragon's at. And then, of course, he shows up on the boat and has shower sex with a girl. And, of course, they go to the island, which is like this... It looks like an abandoned, like, industrial complex or something. Or, like, it was something like the guy, the main villain, like, caused a stir or, like, some sort of commotion that caused everyone on this artificial island to leave. And then, And of course, he's taken over completely. But like, I'm not sure what government it's, if it belonged to China or whatever, because there's that one scene like when they go out to like right before they get off the island with like there's a huge statue of like a leader, but I'm not sure who it was.
There's are we talking about the part of the movie that's in Shanghai? Because Shanghai is China.
Well, I'm talking about like that's past Shanghai, like when he goes with the girl on that boat to go meet the main villain. Like, maybe this is the part where you fell asleep at or something.
I think I was asleep when they were in Shanghai, and I woke up and they were in, like, the United Kingdom somewhere.
Okay. All right, well, I'll fill you in on this part, but, like, pretty much Bond goes, you know, gets captured or whatever, and then, like, he goes to meet the main villain, which he has, like, this whole... He uses, like, one port of this building that's, like, a huge server room or something, and then, like... Oh, I love this! Like the main villain plays off like the gay moment that Kaji pulled in the Evangelion 2 movie, where he basically the villain starts hitting on Bond like completely gay, and Bond just plays it off as cool as possible. And then I love the line, like everyone in the theater just flat out laughed, and like the main villain dude was just like, "Oh, I can understand this. I mean, you might be scared if this is your first time." And Bond goes, "What do you think? What do you mean? What do you think?" Like. You think this is my first time? And everyone just broke out laughing.
I think this was when I was asleep.
So cool. What?
This sounds great. I wish I was awake for it.
Yeah, I wish you were too. You might as well just pay money and go see it again.
I know. I was thinking when I was in there, like when I came out, there were like a bunch of other showings of it. I was thinking, should I like sneak in and try to see the part I missed? Or like, but then I realized I had my dad coming to pick me up at a certain time and it wasn't going to work, but I have to see this on DVD or something, you know?
Yeah, like that's a great part, but like, but anyways, like the Asian girl winds up dying. Like what they happened to do was, like they put him in front of this like crumbled statue, or the main villain does, and he puts a shot glass of like scotch on the top of her head from like this fine year of like 50 years ago or something, and like. Yeah, obviously at this point Bond can't shoot very straight. He's like very shaky, and like the purpose was like for him to shoot the shot glass off her head or something, but he completely misses. And then the villain goes, "Okay, my turn," and just caps the woman in the head and kills her. And all Bond, and then Bond kind of like freezes up, and he goes like, and he's like, "Well, what do you think of that, Mr. Bond?" He's like, "That's a hell of a waste of good scotch." And then he just like takes out the first bodyguard dude and uses the gun to kill out all the rest of the bodyguards. And then like. And it's freaking like CQC moment or whatever. And then all of a sudden the British Secret Service show up to rescue Bond. And he tells the main villain dude is like, well, the guy makes fun of like the MI6 branch. He's like, "Oh, the Q branch, they don't come up with anything original or smart. Like all the technology is so outdated." And then MI6 shows up and then Bond holds a little miniature radio and he goes, "Yeah, latest thing from Q branch. It's a radio." And just like to mock the guy.
Do you remember the part where one of the villains tries to use his gun and like it won't shoot because of the fingerprinting thing?
Yeah, that was That might have been the pit with the Komodo dragon pit I was talking about earlier. So too, that was the only part I saw that the gun couldn't be used.
That's right. That's the place.
Okay, yeah. That was earlier. So they capture the main villain dude, which I guess I could look up his name on Wikipedia since I have it in front of me. It's Raul Silva. Or Tiago Rodriguez is the main guy. So Raul is captured. They have him like in this prison tube or whatever. And and apparently like he's a former agent. He was like, you know, slick or whatever. And so anyways, he talks about like how he was in a mission and like he used cyanide capsule to kill himself, but apparently he survived. But then he shows the damage of the cyanide capsule because he has like false teeth in his and the top of his mouth, and he like takes it out, and like one side of his cheek is completely sunken in, and then like the front of his teeth have got like all these like nasty gaps and stuff, and he just starts like maniacally laughing about it, and then he like puts his gums back in, and like he's got like a metal rod to fill out his cheek, and it was like. I was watching. I was like, "Oh my god!" Did you happen to see that part?
I saw the part where he shoots the glass off her head, or he tries to, but I don't remember this part right now.
Okay, well, it was right before like the guy breaks out or whatever, because apparently everything that's happened has been planned from the very beginning. Like this guy has thought everything through because of the technology they have. I'm gonna get a drink real quick.
Hey, I'm gonna pause the recording. Because I have to go to the bathroom, too. Okay, I'm back.
Okay, I was just watching a little bit of Robot Chicken. I guess I can just record this later.
What point were we at again?
I was about to talk about the part where, like, the Raul was about to break out of prison. And out of the holding cell. Are you recording it now?
Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, like, Hugh tries to, go through this laptop or whatever, and he's got all these security measures set up, and they're trying to get it past it. And at the same time, M's having a hearing at, like, with the Prime Minister, like, regarding, like, the whole purpose of MI6, because, like, at this point, like, under Judy Dench, or under M's, you know, command, or Judy Dench's thing, like, it's not really looking so good. She's there to try to defend her position. And at the same time, like, apparently, like, Q goes to open up a file or, like, to figure out a code or whatever to crack it, it winds up, like, spreading a virus and everything through the MI6 computer system, which caused Raul to get out of the cell, the holding cell. So then Bond has to go after him. So apparently, like, he goes through the whole, like, subway thing where, like, he goes to chase him through there and he dresses up as a cop, but that doesn't really help him. And, he finds him at like going up a ladder like underneath the bridge or underneath the subway tunnel, and like he reactivates like a detonator remote, and like it took out this one section of the ceiling or whatever in the tunnels, and then Bond's like, was that for me? He's like, no, but this thing is. And all of a sudden a tram comes like right through the hole of the where it got detonated and like crashes right into where Bond was.
Oh, that was really cool. How did he get out of that?
No, he jumped past like the because like there's a it was in this open area, but like next to it was like this this archway that was like part of the next part of that tunnel, and he just like dived into that area and like avoided the train completely.
That's almost like something out of like Transformers, where there's like flying metal coming at you and you outrun it.
Yeah, and then of course, but of course, the whole purpose of this was for the guy to try to kill M at the. For everything or whatever, because there's this whole revenge plot to it. So then Raul finally gets to the hearing place where M's being held, and like there's a huge shootout, and then Bond shows up and, you know, pretty much takes out all the guys and everything. But at this point, like, he winds up disappearing, and Bond's next plan of action is to basically like get out of the radar and try to get him to trap him to go to where Bond is so they can take him out. And like when they made a comment in the beginning where like he first meets up with Raul at that island or whatever regarding like how like him and his like grandmother or whatever like were on an island or regarding his past, like how they would trap rats or something. And they made like an allegory thing where like the rats would, you know, they'd put like a coconut there to hide all the rats, and then the rats would all eat each other until there was two left. And so this is kind of a thing where like, we're the only two left. You're going to go after, you're going to try to run for it, or you're going to try to kill me. And, which is really kind of like leading up to what's going to happen later in the movie. And then of course, like at this, so apparently Bond and Judi Dench are like, you know, we need to get under the radar. Like most of these cars are, you know, automatically, you know, they can be tracked and everything. So I got a ride that we can use so we don't get caught. And then Bond has like in a garage, the original Aston Martin DB5 from the original Bond movies. And it is like pristine condition and everything. It is sweet. And then as soon as they play that, like there's people in the theater just started cheering, including myself. We're like, yeah. And they even made a comment where, like, where they're driving and, like, he opens up the shift knob and there's a red button. He's like, don't make me eject you. And she's just like, she's like, I would never dream of it, Bond.
Doesn't she say, like, go ahead or something like that?
Oh, yeah, it was something like that. But, like, he was about to eject her or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that movie. And then, but they wind up going to like to take us back to Bond's past because he said like we need to go back in time, and so they're going to like pretty much Bond's old where he grew up as a kid
when he says Skyfall. When he says he's going to go back in time, I keep expecting the Aston Martin to be like a DeLorean or something. You know?
Yeah, like the little like digital not like a digital like pad comes out. And he like starts punching in numbers and there's a flux capacitor.
Yeah, and then he goes to the past of James Bond's life and he sees himself as a child at Skyrim or whatever, you know. I keep calling it Skyrim because of Viku. I need to get back to calling
Viku,
it Skyfall.
You jerk, look what you did to this podcast.
Yeah, he's ruined it even after being on it.
Yeah. His legacy shall live on forever. So anyways, like they talk about Bond's past regarding him being an orphan and everything once his parents were killed, but they never explain how his parents died. But I'm assuming it was like some accident or something, kind of like with
wasn't there like a fire or something? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't know if they made that abundantly clear or something. Maybe they might have mentioned a fire.
It wasn't like a big deal or anything if they mentioned it.
Yeah. But they go to Skyfall, which is like his, which apparently like once Bond died, I guess it was still under his name. So with him being dead, like they, you know, auction off everything in the house. Like he, like when he got there, he meet up with the guy who's, his name's Kincaid, who was the keeper of the Skyfall estate. And according to Wikipedia, it says that Sean Connery was almost approached to play this role and nod for being the 50th anniversary of the film series, which that would have been freaking awesome if he was.
That'd be like the Star Wars from a few years ago where they find Nimoy on the ice planet. You know, like they gotta acknowledge the old actor, I think.
Oh. You said this is a Star Wars movie or the Star Trek movie?
Star Trek.
Yeah.
The most recent
with old, yeah. Which I actually like that Star Trek movie.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. So anyways, like, continuing on, like, they booby-trap the house, like, something freaking from, like, freaking Home Alone or something. And, and it was pretty much almost like Home Alone. It was pretty much like Home Alone, except it was just grown-ups doing it. But, and then anyways, like, they kind of waited out or whatever, and eventually, like, Raul's army shows up, and he's got, like, a mercenary group, and there's, like, you know, 20 dudes or whatever. And, like, they're basically fighting for the house, and there's, like, this escape route that they can take to go to this, like, old church. And it's, like, a freaking awesome shootout and everything. And, of course, like, at the very end, like, what was so great was the fact that there's a helicopter that showed up and was shooting up the house. But then they also showed up the Aston Martin DB5, which was already okay because, like, it's already bulletproof enough from like regular bulletproof fire and everything. And then as soon as it like gets shredded to bits and blows up, like Bond just gets ultimately pissed off. And he's like, they mess with my ride. How dare they? And then he just takes it seriously. And what I mean by take it seriously, he like takes these gas tanks and blows up the whole house. And he mentions like, I never liked this house anyways. And then he goes right for the caves.
Yeah. We mentioned that Judi Dench got shot in there, right?
Yeah, she got shot or she's injured in one of the firefights or whatever. And like the Kincaid is walking her to the the church or whatever.
I'm glad they had that character go out like this.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get that in a sec. But like, so anyways, Bond goes after the remaining guys because he. No, what was it? That's right. The house blew up and they took out the helicopter because the helicopter just wound up crashing into it.
Wait, did you mention yet the scene where Bond is underwater?
No, I was about to get there. Yeah, like he fights in like frigid frozen water because he was trying to, he was crossing a lake and there was another guy that came up behind him and he grabs the gun and like makes a huge circle with all the bullets and like winds up like drowning the guy underwater or whatever, which was like, this is kind of the part where it got like semi-unrealistic. It was already getting unrealistic anyways, but he winds up cutting himself out of there, and then Raoul was about to kill Judi Dench's character, like, but then like he gets a knife in the back from Bond, and it was really sad to see that, you know, this is how they ended Judi Dench's character in the movie, where, like, you know, she goes out this way, and they had this huge memorial service for her. It was basically like the most impact, like, if you've seen all the Bond movies, especially in the past, like, since the 90s, like, pretty much going back 20 years, like, Judi Dench has had a huge role in this as M. And the fact that they, you know, they've finally killed their character off, and I think the reason why was the fact that, like, she isn't able to see too well anymore. I think that's what I read.
The actress can't see?
Or she's got some sort of cancer or some disease that's causing her to lose her eyesight. So, like, what a great movie for her to end out on.
She's old. They had to replace her.
Yeah. But I enjoyed her as an actress. But, I mean, again, like, you know, this is such a great movie for her to go out on. I mean, she's freaking 77 years old.
What I like about how they did that was that they, you know, in a lot of the old Bond movies, they just switch the actors, and there's no explanation of why. It's just one M. It's one M one movie, another M the next, and it's just like, okay. But in this, they have, like, an explanation for, like, why there's this new Money Penny and why, you know, why the new M is a different person. And it's not just like total suspension of disbelief. They try to make it like real.
Yeah, that's true. I'm pretty sure she's got something where it was just like something's messing with her eyesight. And this is like pretty much, I think, might be her last movie or something, but I think she might still continue acting on something. But it, yeah, again, like, this is such a great way to end the characters, you know, from this. But of course, like it, and then of course, like it goes, picks up right where the new MI6 is, which is surprisingly a really big, huge nod to the original MI6 building and the setup from the old James Bond movies, because like they open the door, and as soon as I saw where the coat rack was and how everything looked, I said, "Holy crap!" And like as soon as the old agent sat down, which she winds up revealing herself as being Moneypenny, I was just like, "Ah, movie!" And I'm like, "I'm glad I didn't know that." And then like there's the double doors, and he walks in there, and then like the Prime Minister dude, or not Prime Minister dude, but the guy who was working for the British government, Mallory, is there, and he's the new M. And he winds up giving James Bond a new assignment and everything, and it just ends on that. And I'm like thinking, "Holy crap! What a great movie," because it's such a callback to the original movies.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that they, I mean, when they name all these positions that were like absent for the past few movies, like there was no Money Penny before, like people didn't know if that was going to come back, so it's like exciting. And Q and everything, you know.
Yeah, like, and I'm wondering if they're like the next movies are, I'm not sure if they're going to revamp the or like redo the original movies. I'm guessing not, because, like, isn't Skyfall, like, one of the latest novels?
If it is, they probably wrote the novel like knowing they were going to make a book of it, or knowing they were going to make a movie of it. Because I think I don't know who's writing them anymore, but that guy who wrote like 30 of them or whatever, they try to make it like more in line with the movie than the Fleming stuff.
Yeah, like because Ian Fleming has been deceased since like the late 60s, so like he's had like other people take over it.
Yeah, there's like a lot of different people.
So this is a huge family tradition to keep the James Bond series alive.
Yeah.
And like I think there's a different writer who wrote like the ones for the Pierce Brosnan movies. And like I think some of the Timothy Dalton movies as well.
Okay.
All right. I'm trying to figure out the latest Bond movie or something.
The best part about the ending, though, was he finally does the part where he walks and turns to the camera and shoots it, and then the music plays. Yeah. You know? I thought that's supposed to happen at the start, but they did it. Like, I didn't think it was going to happen, but they finally did it at the end.
Yeah. Apparently, the latest appearance with I think the most recent novel of James Bond is Carte Bianche. That's the latest novel from like last year.
You think it's pronounced Carte Blanche or something?
It's probably Carte Blanche. I can't say anything.
Yeah.
This is a novel written by Jeffrey Deaver. It sounds by Deaver.
This had at the end it just said James Bond will return, but
it didn't state like what he would do next.
Yeah, generally they say and then it says the name of the next movie.
Because I stayed through the whole credits, or me and my friends did, and like, they didn't state the movie or like a after credits scene or something like that of what'll come up, and I'm like,
There was, there've only been a few where they don't say what the next one will be, and there was one where it said like the wrong name or something, like it said Moonraker like two movies before it was actually Moonraker or something. But usually they say what the next movie is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, Carte Blanche is, I think it's kind of like a, it says that it updates James Bond's backstory to fit with the 21st century setting, making it the first ever reboot of illiteracy of the James Bond movie. So this is really, because they have him being born in 1979. So he was a veteran of Afghanistan and instead of World War II.
Oh, well, they've retconned the James Bond history?
This is from the latest novel. It's like a revamp kind of thing with something else. So.
I hope they don't incorporate this into the movies. They've already revamped him.
Yeah. Let's see what we got.
Did you hear the thing about how they were thinking about making the next Bond be, like, black?
No, I did not hear that.
Yeah, well, look it up. Idris Elba or something like that is the name of the black guy. And they're, like, trying to find a new Bond for after Craig quits. And one of them is, like, one of the main contenders is black.
Man, that's like freaking Black Nick Fury.
Yeah. And now that's the only way they do Nick Fury now. In all the cartoons and, like, all the movies, he's just, like, Black Nick Fury now. Because...
Yeah.
This is what he
is. There's a lot of good titles from, like, Ian Fleming movies have been done. There's one by Kingsley Ames, which is called Colonel Sun. That sounds like a pretty cool name.
Oh, that one. I read
the ones
about that
by one. John
that
Gardner cool. is License Renewed, Icebreaker. That sounds like a good title. Gardner, Scorpius.
Gardner did a lot of them.
Okay, yeah, there's Man from Barbarossa. Like, none of these have been touched.
Yeah.
There's Nobody Lives Forever, which is different from Diamonds Are Forever.
Yeah.
Oh, 0-10 is one by Raymond Benson. There's Double Shot. There's The Man with the Red Tattoo. That's too long of a title, though. Well, so they have a lot to work with these.
There's The Man with the Golden Gun. It's not like they haven't done it before.
Yeah. Like, I would, like, anything with, like, if they have, like, an Icebreaker or, like, Scorpius. Like, Scorpius sounds like a really awesome title for a Bond movie.
I like how they always use, like, the same words in all of them. Like, forever, or
Death is Forever. That's another John Gardner title.
Yeah, that's like
the man,
totally
the man from the man from Barbarossa.
That's totally cliche.
Sea Fire.
Sea Fire. Skyfall. Sea Fire. Just throw two words together.
Trash Boat. They got Sebastian Falks wrote Devil May Care from 2008. There's another one coming out next year called, from William Boyd, but it's untitled.
Wasn't there something you wanted us to do for Halloween called like the Devil's Fingers or something like that? Or Idle Fingers or something?
Oh, that's Idle. That's Idle Thumbs.
Idle or, Thumbs.
Yeah, that's that was at...
You called it Idle Thumbs.
That's that Seth Green movie. That's Seth, actually, yeah, Seth Green.
But it's actually called Idle Hands, right?
And you call Idle Hands, Idle yeah. No, Robot Chicken did a spoof on that called Idle Nuts.
Oh.
Which is actually not that. That's like one of their earlier stuff, which was pretty funny. There's got like spinoff series of this, too. Like, the novelizations, Raymond Benson did Tomorrow Never Dies. Like, okay, so Raymond Benson did the novelizations of the movies.
Wait, what are the spinoffs? Do they have, like, young Bond? Like, they have young Sherlock Holmes?
There's, and... there's the Adventures of James Bond Jr., 003 and a half.
Oh, no.
James Bond, the authorized biography of 007. The Young Bond series by Charlie Higson is Silverfin, Blood Fever, Double or Die, Hurricane Gold, By Royal Command.
There's another one that's like the Diary of Moneypenny.
Yeah, Moneypenny Diaries is Guardian Angel, Secret Servant, and Final Fling.
Wait, there's
and
these several?
Are by Samantha Wingberg.
There's several of them? Moneypenny Diaries?
There's three of them, if you want to count that as several.
Why?
And then there's more by Raymond Benson, which is the Uncollected Short Series, which is Blast from the Past, Midsummer's Night's Doom, Live at Five.
Living at Five?
Or Live at Five.
Live at Five? I don't know. That's weird.
Oh, there's one by Samantha Weinberg, which is Moneypenny's First Date with Bond. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
That sounds like a freaking Lifetime movie.
I have to
James
say.
Bond edition. Oh, God, that sounds terrible.
There's like one of these that sounds good after the Flemings. After that, it's just like a bunch of jokes, you know? 003 and a half.
Yeah. Well, didn't they make like a James Bond Jr. cartoon back in the 90s, I think.
Oh, I think you're right, but...
I think they made a video game after that, but they made like a comic and a TV series that I never saw or ever heard of before.
There's also something like Young Indiana Jones, I think, right?
Yeah, no, I actually own some of the comics to the Young Indiana Jones series, and those are like in graphic novel format, and I've had those since like the 90s. And actually, those aren't bad, but then they made the live action movies, which I know I've seen most of them. I don't remember them being all that bad. But then again, it's been like 15, 20 years since I've seen these. So
yeah.
Don't quote me on this.
Do you think that they're movies? They're not like a... Wasn't there a TV show or something?
I think there was a TV show, but these are like TV made for movies that like you can go to like... If these still existed, like if like Hollywood Video still existed, they would have like these on DVD for you to rent.
I think there's also something...
Hollywood Video would be the only place you can get these movies from.
Isn't there also something called The Young Hercules that was around back then, too? Like, they were
sounds familiar. I mean, it's different from the Hercules TV series with Kevin Sorbo.
I think so, yeah.
Well, I think we should probably wrap this up. We've been going at this for 2.5 hours.
Yeah. So we did the whole story, right, of Bond?
Yeah, that we think we pretty much covered the movie and spoiled whatever there is out of it.
Okay.
We talked about this for over an hour, didn't we?
Well, at about 55 minutes, Steve said he was going to leave, and then about 20 minutes later, he left. And then I guess we went on it for like an hour 15 or something.
Well, if you count... Yeah, hour 15 sounds about right. I mean, this is a 2.5 hour long movie.
Yeah.
And we talked about, like, we talked about the movie for maybe 45 minutes or so, but then we talked about James Bond movies and James Bond novels and everything other about James Bond.
Yeah.
So this is really like the biggest James Bond episode probably we'll ever do. Yeah, maybe.
It's likely. One of the other things I liked, the scene where Bond is underwater, I liked how the villain just like assumes he's dead, and he just goes on to stab Judi Dench and everything, and he you can't assume Bond is dead. Like, this is the whole point of the movie. They do it twice. They do it where he falls off the waterfall and everyone assumes he's dead. He's not dead.
It's like he's didn't Bond. You guys, like, don't you realize, like, the first time this happened, it's not going to happen the same time again?
Yeah.
Well, then again, Bond only does live twice.
per movie.
Per movie. Oh, man. I think I'm pretty good. I feel, hopefully everyone has seen this movie before you listen to this podcast, because we have spoiled everything about it.
This is probably not going to come out for a few weeks, so...
The people have had plenty of time to watch that movie, I would assume.
Yeah, because we've got like 4 episodes worth of stuff before this.
Mm-hmm.
So, just reuse the old closing remarks or something. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. We don't have... I guess I can always end it with the James Bond theme or something, like, Dinich, dear.
Oh, yeah. Dun-na, dun-na, dun-na.
Oh, when I saw Dr. No a couple weeks ago, like, I realized that movie had no soundtrack. It only had like 2 songs that they were used constantly. It was like 3 Blind Mice and like Underneath the Coconut Tree.
Oh, God. Underneath the mango tree.
It's like when I watched that movie when I was like in middle school, I was just like, holy crap, I can like find random girls at a beach, start singing that song, and they would totally want my dick. And that is not how it works in real life, unless you're James Bond.
Did you actually try this?
In my mind, I thought it would work. I don't think I ever really attempted it, but I've tried something just like it, and I always came off as creepy. So, lesson learned. Man, we're done. Just shut it down.
I've drowned and dreamt this moment.